Well, good morning. Proverbs 11. Let's go ahead and turn there. How you doing, Mrs. Royalty? I didn't say hi to anybody on this side. Not that I don't like you, but I like to stick with the right side of the church. It's always good. But good to see you all this morning. Trust you had a happy 4th of July. I'm burdened about our country, but I'm thankful we still have freedoms. And I think about that often. Sometimes we complain and we gripe about what we don't have and or what's going on, but we still can read our Bibles with freedom. We still have church to attend. And I was telling Pastor, I just finished traveling with one of our groups, and we were in 12 churches in 16 days. So we were just going Delaware, Virginia, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania. And it's some of the best spirit that we've had. And I think it's just a matter of people stopping to say, we're just thankful to be in church. And if there's anything that has helped me is just the church is an assembly. That's the actual definition of church. And so we need getting together. We need prayer together. We need fellowship together. I need it. And sometimes we just go through the motions. Yeah, I'll be there Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek. And you just go through the motions. But when you don't have it, I mean, I'm thankful that people know how to live stream. I don't. I would have been like had a big microphone yelling to the people in my church, but I'm thankful for that. But the parking lot thing wasn't really exciting for me either. And so just to meet together, and for us, Indiana's a little bit looser. So we've been at our buses 8 weeks now. They've been rolling, and our numbers are down. But the Lord, I think last week we had 350 still on our buses. So in the midst of some of this craziness, God's still working, and so I'm very thankful to know that this didn't surprise the Lord. He knew what was going to go on, and maybe just said maybe church needs to be essential, and maybe our people start to realize that. And so praise the Lord for you folks. I love pulling into Broadview Heights. I know it's going to be well manicured, and you guys do a super job with that. And I always look forward to coming. And our desire is to come and be a blessing, and that's really why we're here. I'm not going to say anything that your pastor would not say. That's not what I'm here for. And I even told him, I said, hey, if you feel the urge to preach, I could use some preaching as well. I don't mind stepping aside. So he's allowed me the liberty to do so. And so we're going to have a good time. We're going to try to do it and look at the scriptures. And when you open the scriptures, we're going to be helped. And so that's what I'm going to try to do for you today. So we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 11. And Sunday school is always one of those services that, for me, we're hard to stay awake. And some of you say, that's me. I'm already feeling it. So I like a little interaction, if you don't mind. For you that are watching on the live stream, stay awake. All right. We'll try to do that. I'll try to keep you awake. That's my job. And that's tough, especially after a holiday. All right. So we'll see if we can help you out with that today. Proverbs chapter 11. From the time you wake up in the morning to the time you lay your head down at night, you are receiving counsel. It comes in various forms. For the kids, it comes generally from their parents. But for us old people, it comes from the radio. It comes from a book you crack open in the morning. If you have a television, it's shooting at you that way. If you like talk radio, you're receiving counsel. And I'd like to maybe warn you about counsel. In Proverbs 11, verse number 14, begins with just a simple statement. Where no counsel is, Caleb, what's the result? Nope, close. Where no counsel is, the people fall. Okay, now let's just stop there for a second. Let's just explain what that is. Like I said, I'm going to try to keep you awake. So what does that mean? If somebody could help me out today, I don't know everybody's name, but I'll try to get that by the end of the day. Right there. I shook your hand, but I didn't get your name. What's your name? Sorry. Daniel. All right. So what does that mean? Where no counsel is, the people fall. Okay. All right. So simplify it. What is counsel? I'll ask this young lady right here. I just woke her up. She's scared now. What is counsel? When you hear the word counsel, what does that mean? Okay, that's her view on counsel, instruction, right here. Advice. That's generally the answer you hear. But when you go to schools, there are people there that are called guidance counselors. All right, we hear the word maybe advisors. So the Bible says this, where there is no instruction, where there is no advice, where there is no counselors, there's something that's going to happen. The people fall. Now, several years ago, I was at a pastor's house in Jefferson City, Missouri. And I got to the house very late. We were fellowshipping late into the evening, into the morning. And I'd been to the pastor's house before. I said, "Brother, I'm tired. I got to preach a couple times tomorrow. I'm ready for bed." And so with that, I grabbed my gear and I went down the hallway towards which I thought was the hallway to the room I was staying. So I had my hands full. I remember going down the hallway, leaning up into the door that I thought was the door to the room that I had stayed in before. And when I leaned in, I kept leaning and kept on going, and I fell down the stairs to his unfinished basement. Now, you're doing ooh. I was doing ooh also. And I just remember, again, that my hands were full, so I just kind of did one of these numbers, and I just had this free fall, and I hit the landing at the bottom. I don't think I did do-do-do. I just hit the landing, and there was about three stairs after the landing. I hit that, rolled down there. It's pitch dark. And I'm thinking, what just happened was not good. And I hear this voice at the top of the stairs, "Eric?" I'm like, "Yeah?" And then I went to push myself up. And that's when the problem came in. Is my hand was twisted this way, and I snapped my wrist. And then, so this is Saturday morning, late Friday night, Saturday morning sometime. We go to the emergency room. There's no orthopedic surgeon there. I've got to preach a couple times on Saturday and Sunday for their church's anniversary, and there's no one to help take care of this wrist issue, so I began the process of taking Vicodin. Well, I don't need anything to eat. I don't feel like eating, so take Vicodin without eating. It's not good. Well, I'm taking it. I'm out door knocking on Saturday morning with the guy I was with, and we're door knocking, inviting people to church, and I excuse myself and go puke in the bushes. It was not a pleasant weekend, needless to say. I remember I preached Saturday twice, Sunday three times, drove home Monday from Jeff City with my arm like this. I had 8-year-old boys, 10-year-old boys putting my belt on, it was a very humbling, humiliating, whatever word you prefer, experience for those next couple days. Now, here's the point. I've been involved in all kinds of sports. I've been involved in different things. But that's the first time I ever broke a bone in my body. Since that time, that was probably 10, 15 years ago, when I drive, I put my hand over my wife's lap. She knows the cue is to rub my wrist. Because from that time, I still have wrist problems. Now, when you fall, sometimes after a day you injure yourself. Friday we were at somebody's house and one of the boys was riding this little moped and he took the corner wrong and he just tore up the whole side of his body. And I'm watching him limp around. But he'll be okay in a short amount of time. For me, it's several years. But there are some people that will fall and ultimately they lose their life. I guess the challenge I want to leave with you is when you say, "I'm not going to listen to instruction. I'm not going to listen to advice. I'm not going to listen to counsel." You have no idea where that fall and where it's going to take you. It could affect you for a day. It could affect you for years, or you could lose your life. And so when I read this verse, I always think of me falling down a flight of stairs. It wasn't pleasant. It's not pleasant. But let's look at the second part. And that's where I want to dwell for the time that we have here in the Sunday school hour. But, and I like that, it kind of changes the tenor of it. All right. So you think of falling. Ooh, that's not a good thing. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. All right. And so we live in a safety conscious world. All right, you're going to be looked at. My wife was looked at kind of odd this morning. I don't know if it's because she didn't have a mask on or if she had a skirt on. I'm not sure which one it was when she went and got her Starbucks this morning. She's like, "People are just kind of looking at me funny." I don't know. But we live in a world where Miss Elizabeth, I saw her come, she's got a mask on. You go to different places. When I was in Delaware 2 weekends ago, everybody in the church had a mask on. It was just unique because you're preaching to 150 people. Are they laughing? Are they smiling? Are they asleep? You have no idea because some just want to pull the whole mask up. And you don't know what's going on there. But Northern Virginia was crazy as far as safety conscious. Southern Virginia, we're out hiking. We were having a good time. And people were like, they didn't even know that masks were even in. You don't know. But when you go get a job and you're kind of in a factory, one of the first things that people make you do is watch safety videos. When you get in the car, you're supposed to put on your safety belt. When you get on a bike, you'll see some people that put the helmet. Because there's this general idea, this general attitude of safety. Well, the scriptures give us some advice, counsel. In the multitude, that's a big word. In the multitude, what does that mean? Like number, all right? They like to say like. When there's a group, a number, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Look over to 1 Kings. We'll touch. I don't think I'll finish this today. That's fine. Maybe in a couple of years when Pastor feels safe enough to have me come back, we can finish this up. 1 Kings chapter 12. While you're getting there, I'll lay the groundwork for this. When I say the name Rehoboam, does anything come to mind? Yes, sir. Okay, so a lot of people get those names confused. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. All right, while Solomon was reigning, he was really in a time of prosperity. David had set the tone for him. For 40 years, David battled. Solomon came basically at a time of peace. So all he did was build. You read when he built his house, when he built the temple. I think in the temple he had some 150,000 laborers that he had put together as his building workforce. So he just built. It was prosperity. But towards the end of his reign, the Bible says his heart was turned away. His wives turned away his heart. And so when that began to take place, strife, conflict arose. And there was a man by the name of Jeroboam who was predicted that he was going to come and cause problems for Solomon and for his son. Well, Jeroboam found out. He's like, I'm out of here. He runs to Egypt. Solomon passes off the scene. Rehoboam comes into the scene, Solomon's son. Now Jeroboam comes back in 1 Kings chapter 12 and basically brings the people of Israel and he says, all right, if you loosen the load, lighten the load, if you will, we'll serve you. If not, there's going to be consequences. This is where 1 Kings chapter 12 sets the tone. Let's just look at, I'm not going to read the entire text. But it says in verse 5, and he said, Rehoboam says, depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. So he says, I'm going to get 3 days to think about this. Come back in 3 days, I will give you my answer. Okay? Verse number 6. And King Rehoboam, what's the next word? Consulted. We probably don't use that very often, but you'll see places that are consultation places. That gives the idea you're getting counsel from them. So Rehoboam consulted with the... I'm going to put myself in that category. I'm feeling it. Are you 44 yet? Yeah, you're older than me, aren't you? He's way older than me, all right? He consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon's father while he yet lived and said, how do ye... Here's the word that she said... advise that he may answer this people. And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant to this people this day, and will serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men which he had given, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye? Now, for sake of time, basically Rehoboam pushes aside Solomon's advisors. And he listens to his buddies. Now, I got some young men sitting here. Can I just warn you? Be careful about listening to your buddies. Because what they said is show them who's boss. Prove your point. Show how tough you are. Solomon's advisors saw maybe some problems and they said, hey, why do you listen to the people? Serve them. It'll go well for you. But here's the point. Rehoboam did listen to counsel. Okay? But he listened to the wrong counsel. And I've come to understand, young people, parents, grandparents, you will always find somebody to tell you what you want to hear. Because you're going to say, well, I went to her and I went to her and I went to him. And there's six people that say, not a good idea. You're going to go to this guy right here and he's going to tell you, oh, yeah. You know, well, huh. You're going to find somebody to tell you what you want to hear. So be careful. So listen to counsel, yes, but make sure it's counsel that comes from a biblical perspective. So here's the point, though. Rehoboam's decision, this is what kind of blows my mind when I think about this. This one decision has caused us to have 1st and 2nd Kings in our Bible. 1st and 2nd Chronicles in our Bible. All those names that you can't read. And then the Jehoiachins and the Jehoiakims and the Jehoahazes and all those names are a result of this decision. Basically, the nation of Israel is divided for hundreds of years. Tell me that the decisions we don't make aren't important. And now we have the United Kingdom, as we call it. Now we have the divided kingdom. And now Israel and Judah are at odds for hundreds of years. Basically, through the entire Old Testament, it's Israel, Judah. Israel, Judah. Judah fighting Israel. Judah allying with... It's nonstop. All because of this one decision. Let us understand the brevity of our decisions that we make. Now, let's look at a couple things in the time that we have. There's lots of verses. I think my favorite psalm, Psalm 1, has it right there. Blessed is the man that walketh not in thee. Help me out. You're saying it already. You know it because counsel becomes really important. Psalm 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. You know what? When there's confusion in our world, and there is, I'm so glad we have this. Because this stands forever. In a year, there's going to be minds changed about COVID-19. There's going to be minds changed about racism. There's going to be minds changed about things that are going on. But this stands forever. This is sure. Thank the Lord for that. Right. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 19:21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. We can go down the list. Counsel is super important. But you have two different counsels. Counsels of wickedness and counsel of godliness. Now, when I think of the man by the name of Job, we're studying character in our family right now. Integrity is the word that we're looking at. Job was a man of integrity. Job had 10 children. I think Job was a very godly man based on the scriptures. I have a hunch, Pastor, that his wife was a godly lady. I outside of the one time that we see her show up, I don't really sense that she was this wicked lady. But in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of losing 10 children in a day and all of your possessions in a day, I would say Job's wife kind of cracked a little bit. And she came and she counseled her husband. She said, dost thou still retain thine integrity, thy character? Curse God and die. So here's Job, a man of God, one that feared God, escheweth evil. And his wife comes to him in the midst of difficulty and gave him counsel. I don't know where you're going to get your counsel, but it may come from your boss at work. Amidst all of these things, people are going to counsel you and say, you know what, don't tithe and give because the Lord will understand. No, 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 no. Be careful of the counsel you get in good times and in bad times. You're going to get it. So who are the counselors that we should listen to in our life? Help me out. Who should we listen to as far as counsel is concerned? This is your turn. Authority, all right, so that's kind of a general term. But let's be a little more specific. Kids, I'm going to let... Yes. Parents! All right, I didn't know if one of the kids... I thought parents would throw that one out first. We have parents from God. Thank the Lord. You know what they're doing? Is they are directing our way. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. So I trust parents, even grandparents, when you have the grandkids over. There's nothing wrong with cracking this open, whether it be daily... and directing our children with counsel. Amen. That's right. Now, it's up to them for them to listen to it. But it should be up to us to say, here's counsel. Parents should point specifically their children to God. How about the preacher? This is when I like to toot the pastor's horn. I'm not a pastor. I have really no desire to be a pastor. I want the job, the tough decisions to fall on guys like this. Now, he said I was a wrestler in college. He was not. I'll put it this way. He was serious in college. I was not. I kind of like to goof around a lot. He was one of those guys just kind of straight. We won't say anything about Mrs. Royalty. She was in my group. But the point is, when it comes down to life, and I've prayed for a lot of pastors through this time because they have to make tough decisions. You've got some people that think coronavirus is like just a complete conspiracy. It's out there. And you have some people that are super serious about it. And then everybody in the middle. And then you've got the racism and the protest, and some are like, just go shoot everybody. And it's crazy. And so they have to make a decision to help the whole church. And if they don't make the decision based on what he thinks, I'm leaving. I was at a church last Sunday, and the pastor, he had a guy on his staff for 20 years. And because he felt like we should have never, ever shut the church up, he walked away. And it breaks my heart for guys like this. He's just trying to do what's best for the whole congregation. Here's the guy just walks away. 20 years. And so his job is to get up and to preach, not what his opinion is. There's sermons I don't know that you probably don't want to preach. But his job, and he's not doing you a justice if he doesn't preach the whole counsel of God. And he knows things about you folks that I have no business, no, I don't want to know. But if he gets up and just kind of tickles your ears, then he's wrong. And I know you want him to preach the whole counsel of God, but sometimes you don't want it when it's directed to you. But that's his job. And so the man of God is going to counsel us. And that's why we ought to pray for him. I pray for my pastor generally twice a day. Because I don't want his job. And so we need to pray for the man of God because he's giving us counsel. I'm glad we have this. This is the counsel of God. When you have an issue with your finances, guess what? You can go to this. Now, it doesn't have credit cards in there, but it has principles about how to deal with credit cards and debt and so forth and planning for your future. So this is counsel. The Spirit of God. I am so glad we have the Spirit of God with us. He's with us. And when you're out and about and you're not in the house of God and you're tempted to do this, you've got the counselor there with you. He's also called the comforter. You know what? There's people that have lost family members through this time. I was with a pastor a week ago Tuesday, and they just lost their 15-day-old child. That was a month or so ago. And then last Friday, his wife was going in, and it didn't look very good with her and cancer. She's just young. They're younger than my wife and I. And then he's got 7 family members with coronavirus. I tried to encourage the man, but sometimes you feel really helpless in those situations. I tried to give him some verses of comfort after we met. I sent a verse, Psalm 37, towards him and said, these verses were an encouragement to me as I was praying for you this morning. And that's good. But I tell you what, the only one that really is going to comfort him is the Holy Spirit of God. I think they'll remember my brother-in-law, Josh Thompson and Marissa. Josh was thrown into prison, I don't know, 17 years ago for spanking a child. I'm not going to go into the whole situation, but the Lord just gave them twins 6 months ago. Pretty excited. He's been out of prison for 2 years. But I remember going to visit Josh in prison. Here he is in the midst of vulgarity, wickedness, vileness. And I would go meet with him, and my goal was to go there to be an encouragement to him. That's why I was going in there. I remember sitting down and talking, had my guns loaded with scriptures. And I would just sit there, and at the end of our meeting, our visit, I felt about this big. Because, you know, he would talk about how good God was, how close God was to us, to him, how the Comforter had comforted him in the midst of tribulation and turmoil. And I'd walk out feeling this little spiritually. We have the Spirit of God to help us, to guide us. That's what He does. He guides us into all truth. And so these are our counselors, and I wonder if we listen to them. So that's the counselors. Here's the craziness. Excuse my C's today. The craziness. Why don't we listen to counsel? Any thoughts? Oh, you should not say that. That's a bad word. Pride. Let's put it into a battle setting. We've got the general. We just spent some time at Gettysburg this a couple weeks ago and driving through the battlefield and things like that. So my mind drifts to the Civil War era when I think of this particular passage and council. So you have the general, and I picture these big tents. And I picture him standing up at this little desk, makeshift desk, with this map laid out. And then I picture all of his other generals that come in. They're standing on the opposite side of the desk facing him. And what he's doing is he's saying, hey, men, what should we do? What's our plan of attack, if you will? So he's here, and let's just say there's six other men here on this side, and they're getting ready to give their opinion or their counsel or their advice or their instruction, as you like to say. What if he says, all right, sir, what do you think? And the man said, well, I think this is our number of troops. This is, and he kind of just stops and says, you know what, shut up. Okay, that guy was kind of, oh, all right, not sure. And he goes through and really just kind of shuts them down. He does not give them the opportunity to give their opinions. And he says, you know what, I'm the guy. I don't need your help. You guys, I don't know why you're here. This is what we're going to do. Now, what would you say about a guy like that? Probably foolish. You'd think it'd be very wise for him to say, what do you think? Because he may have a little more insight on number of troops, where other troops are, the placement of things. And you would expect him to listen to his advisory council, right? Because you would understand it provides safety. And sometimes I feel like I do that as a parent, dealing with things in our home. And someone will come up, maybe it's our school principal, say, hey, Eric, I saw this. Ah, shut up. I may not say it quite that brash, but I just kind of push them off. And then a youth pastor comes, or a coach comes, or a parent, another parent comes. You know what we ought to do? And this is what I'm preaching to me, so you're looking at me like, I do this already. Well, good, I'm just maybe helping you with this. If somebody comes to you and they're willing to confront you about things, thank them. There have been times that a teacher has come to us and they're rattling off these things about that girl right there. Oh, and she's bad. Bad. About that girl, she's really bad. About this guy right here, and he's... What are you going to say about yourself? He said, he's pretty good, all right? And sometimes we might not even agree with what they say. Sometimes I get a little upset with what they say. Because generally, I feel like they're shooting at me. And I don't like to be shot at. But there have been times we just said, you know what? They're willing to come to us. Let's write them a thank you letter. Because watch, if we fight against that, if we push away and we get upset, do you think they'll come back? Why would they? But maybe that one time they're wrong. Maybe it's completely out there. But I respond in a correct way. The next time they come might be true. And it'll help me. All I'm saying is we need counsel because in the multitude of counselors, help me out, there is safety. Now, kids, look here for a second. This is where I'm going to get you really good. Right in the nose. Right in the kisser. When I go to the airport to fly, I'll be honest with you, I get annoyed. You know where I'm going with this. Because you go there, you got your luggage, you packed it just so, you weighed it just so, you rolled everything to fit exactly just so. And when you go in, you're in that long line, and then they say, take your jacket off, take your shoes off, take your belt off, take your wallet off, take your keys out. I'm like, okay. And then you get through the line, and for me, I must look like a terrorist, because it seems like I get pulled aside every time. Like, what's in that suitcase? My clothes! And they take it over there, and they unzip it, and they start pulling things up. Things are falling everywhere. I'm like, I should have just brought my stuff and let them pack. And they're screening you, and they're just doing it. And from the time you get on the plane, it's safety belts and sit down, and here's the flotation device, and here's the oxygen mask, and on and on and on. And we get annoyed while their number one purpose is for our kids. Your mom or your dad or your pastor is going to say, don't wear that, don't do that, don't do this. And you know what happens? I got to raise my hand. I was guilty of it when I was a teenager. Just leave me alone already. And what they're saying, they say, this is too short, this is too low, this is too tight, and it's all for your safety. Don't listen to that because, you know, it's on the edge. It's all for your safety. But there's this craziness that overwhelms us. Think, you know what? I'm 15. I'm 17. I know better. No. You don't. So, there's this idea of craziness. We're not going to listen because of pride. Maybe friends or family members show up and they tell you something a little bit different than what your church preaches and teaches. Be careful. I'm not going to go down that path. Maybe it's the crowd. Maybe it's just rebellion. I know better. Maybe it's experience. I've done this once before. It's interesting. I need to be done 45-ish. All right. It's only 8:45 where I'm at, so we're doing pretty good. 9:45, sorry. It's interesting when you read the battle plans in the scriptures. Sometimes God led His people to do things different from one day to the next. Now I'm a routine guy. I like routine. We're just talking. I like routine. If my routine doesn't run well in the morning, am I happy or upset? I want to be on time. And I had this group, 6 college children, adults, I'm not sure. And I said, we need to be here. And they're just like, I'm like, guys, let's go. Urgent. And I'm a routine guy. I don't like when things change. I like on the road, that exit, that place where I stayed last time. But sometimes God just changes things for us. And we don't like it. Sometimes He'll say, attack. Other times He'll say, flee and ambush. So we need to be careful that just because we had an experience 5 years ago, that we don't handle that situation the same way. And sometimes we're prone to do that because, after all, we're Baptists. We don't change, bless God. And God doesn't change because Jesus is the same yesterday. And we kind of lay that principle. No, that's not for us to make our decisions. Sometimes with the different children that we have, they're different. And wow! Do we need the wisdom from God? Because what I dealt with 2 years ago may not have been the proper way to deal with it. I can't just say, well, now this is how I dealt. You follow? We have to be careful that we don't just rely on our experience when it comes to following the ways of God. The contentment. Let me kind of close with this. What results in listening to good counsel? Well, we get wisdom. Do we not need wisdom? We need wisdom. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Wisdom, safety, and life. Naaman listened to counsel of a little girl. Little girl. And it caused him to get his life. Praise the Lord for that. Stability. Oh man, is our world constantly changing? This is what it says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. So when we stick with listening to counsel, it's going to give us a life of stability. He shall be like a tree. Planted. Stability. What we need in our young people is not the typical young person that's just blown about with every wind of doctrine. We just need something that they're planted in something that's sure, that's lasting, and peace and happiness. Tell you what, we're just sharing some things. People are open to the gospel right now. I'll tell you why, because they don't know what's... They're confused. Everything's in uproar. And we can give them the gospel that gives them peace and happiness and contentment. Counsel's an important thing. I listen to my mom talk politics, and I can hear Rush and Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, and these guys just spewing forth. Because that's what she listens to. And there's people that like sports a lot, and they listen to ESPN or whatever, and you hear what they're saying. It's because that's what you listen to. It would be good for us to just say, you know what, we're going to delve into this. And when you just start listening to it and reading it and memorizing it and heeding it, and you just spew it out, someone's going to say, all I hear is God. That's really not a bad thing. That would be a good testimony for us. So let's end with this. Where no counsel is, the people, let me remind you, it may be a day injury spiritually, and we don't want those. It may be several years. You know, people do this, say, well, I'm moving away from my church because of this job, and they don't get counsel. We had a young man that he just went to the military, and I asked him, I said, did you go talk to your pastor about it? Well, no, I didn't think he was interested in that. I fear that there may be a couple years of injury because of not listening to counsel. But then there's others that will completely fall in their life spiritually. And I don't know where it's at, but I don't think any of us want to fall. But let's just remind ourselves, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Some people put more emphasis on counsel when they're buying a vehicle than they do for decisions in their home. That's not a good way to live. We understand that we want safety, but sometimes that safety annoys us, doesn't it? But it's all for our benefits, all for our good. So hopefully this is some encouraging thoughts about this idea of counsel. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you might use this. A lot of things that we could go down a certain path on, but I pray that you would just bless the hearers today, that this might be encouraging to them. And even the young people, Lord, you know my heart is more burdened for youth than I think ever before in our ministry. And much of it is they just are going to do their own thing. And I pray that we'd have some that would just say, I'm going to really start going to get counsel for my safety. Because where there isn't any counsel, they will fall. And we have too many people falling today. So I pray that you might just use this lesson as a help, and then bless our service to follow here in just a little bit. In Christ's name.